Oh, Martin, I can't believe we came fourth in Eurovision 2021.
Chris, I hate to break this to you. I don't know whether you were watching last night. We came last. We got null points.
No, Martin. We came fourth.
Okay.
We came fourth.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because you and I were in the Icelandic entry in the virtual choir.
Yeah.
And so we were at Eurovision.
Yeah.
And we came fourth.
We came fourth. That's right. The UK didn't manage to come that high. But no, me and Martin, we were in the Icelandic entry. So congrats to us, I think.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Huge congrats to us. We're basically Eurovision royalty now.
Yeah.
It's happened.
That's
what's happened. Hello and welcome to Nullpois, a Eurovision fan podcast with two UK mates, me, Martin, and that is Laura.
Hi.
And we are here to talk about all things Eurovision because we love it. We don't know everything about it, certainly not, but we learned some stuff.
We
learned some stuff in the grand final 2021, and we are still very much learning. This podcast is a kind of... rather than the last one we just did being our immediate reaction, now we've had some time to sleep on it, to think about what happened a little bit more, and to maybe delve into some of the details and indeed some of the controversies that have come up since the Saturday night. We thought we'd talk about all of that. So we're going to be going through all of that. We're also going to be bringing you our favourite moments of just sheer Eurovision bonkersness. And we're going to be bringing your thoughts as well into the picture too. So all of that to come. But we've got to start, of course, with that moment that it was finally revealed that the winner of the Eurovision Song Contest 2021 was Italy.
165 points, and that means we have a winner!
Fantastic! Italy is the winner!
Great result for Switzerland, but not a lot at the end. We say congratulations to Italy!
Yeah, big congrats to Italy. They were, they were very excited, and you know they delivered on the day. I said Italy were going to win, and I think they provided that big electric performance that people were wanting from this Eurovision. Now there was a little bit of controversy that threatened to overshine Italy's win, but it appears to have pretty much been cleared up now. This was all over Twitter, a video clip that appeared to show one member of the band potentially taking cocaine or drugs of some sort caught on film. Now the EBU have released a statement about this, saying the band have strongly refuted the allegations of drug use. The singer in question will take a voluntary drug test after arriving home. This was requested by them last night but couldn't immediately be organised by the EBU, and they said there was no drugs present and said it was a glass that was broken at their table and it was being cleared by the singer. So, and the EBU have confirmed broken glass was found on site. So they're saying they're still looking at the footage and will update with any further information in due course. But it does look like that little bit that was going all over social media last night has now been cleared up.
Well, possibly. I'm sure that will be the hope that it's been cleared up. I wonder that this isn't the end of these allegations.
Well, the EBU have said they will be updating and they'll be looking into it, but I think we can't really speculate further than that at this point, can
we? Oh, no. Well, absolutely not. I mean, if you haven't seen the footage, by the way, there's no getting round it. It looks very, very bad. Of course, they deny that there was any wrongdoing going on there. You see the lead singer seeming to sort of put his head towards the table. You can't see anything on the table because there's beer bottles in the way, and he seems to sort of sweep his head up quite quickly, and his sort of bandmate gives him seemingly a little bit of a nudge. But as for what is actually going on, it is impossible to tell.
Yeah.
It looks bad, and you know, I think
if you're given a certain context, you're going to assume it's that context, aren't you? But you know, as they've said, it was because of broken glass, and he was trying to sweep to clear up the broken glass. I mean, hopefully he'll take a drug test, test when he gets back to prove it. It sounds like they wanted to do it sooner, but they weren't able to because the EBU weren't able to provide that kind of thing so quickly. But as the situation is still ongoing, but it looks like it is going to get cleared up.
Yeah, so we will, of course, bring you any updates on that story as and when they happen. That, you know, let's hope, absolutely hope against hope, that, you know, that everyone is telling the truth here and that this isn't what it initially maybe appeared to some to be, because that would really, really tarnish not only the reputation of the Eurovision Song Contest, but also it would take the shine hugely off an amazing win for Italy. And that's what we really need to focus on here now, whilst we don't know anything at all about these allegations. And what a win it was. I mean, let's just go back over just how sensational the last few moments of the song contest were on Saturday night.
Goodness me, yeah. But, I mean, it was. Shall we have a little look, really, at the sort of the voting in terms of just the jury vote, splitting the jury vote, the televote, and overall? So it is interesting, jury wise, Switzerland were on top. I suppose I kind of expected Switzerland to do pretty well with the jury. It's a bit more of an artsy number, so to speak. It's a little bit more considered than, obviously, well, in terms of Italy's sort of sheer raw performance. So Switzerland were on top for the jury. Then it was France. Then it was Malta. And then Italy. And Iceland was fifth for the jury. Obviously, Italy won overall. And overall, after Italy, it was France, then Switzerland. So Iceland again at four. So it's interesting. Switzerland just dropped down with the televote there. Actually, they let me just have a look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, so they were seventh in the televote, Switzerland. So they really dropped down a bit with the public. And that whole thing that we were talking about last night of not really knowing who's going to win, I think that definitely showed up in the voting and then producing those votes, because it was split between about five groups, really. And that showed in the bottom results as well, because it meant that those groups got everything and nobody else really got a look in.
Yeah, I'm still not sure what I think about the idea of just hearing from the jury when we go around Europe and then hearing from the public all together in the way they do. Don't get me wrong, it made for exceptionally dramatic moments on Saturday night. Mm. My word, it definitely did. I'm still not sure it's a sort of, I don't know, I just, it doesn't sit right with me still.
A lot of people on Twitter say it's a pretty cruel way of doing it for the performers. We basically, again, this year with Italy and Switzerland, had a Netherlands and Sweden moment of 2019, which was a Duncan Lawrence and John Ludwig, where last year it was those two on screen and they were saying Sweden needs this amount of points and Netherlands needs this amount of points, and they announced Sweden got nowhere near. And John, it's that famous gif that everyone uses on Twitter of John, like, his face dropping. And the same thing happened with the John's tears this time. They were buoying him up, saying, oh, you could win, you're so close to winning, and then renounced his votes. And he didn't win. I think he got 165 from the televote, and he needed a lot more than that. I know why they do it. It's the excitement and the tenseness, but it does feel very cruel.
We are doing a lot of stats at the moment. We're sounding very serious. We are going to be going through the bonkers bits of Saturday night very, very soon. We've been enjoying just sort of the moments of madness right through this week, and the bits we love about the Eurovision Song Contest, really, just when crazy stuff happens. We'll get to that soon. But I quite enjoy all the stats as well. Is
I
that
do
really
as well.
Sad?
No, I love it.
Should we talk about the UK? Yeah. I know this pains us to do it, but it's got to be done. You know, we're both from the UK, obviously, and we were. I was a little angry. I don't know whether that came across in our last podcast.
You were furious, sir, weren't you? And I was a bit like, oh, well, I'll just have a beer. But you were very, you called me deluded. And,
it's all right,
you know. But I can understand the anger. One thing I want to get out, you know, a lot of people, maybe more casual viewers, have been out in arms about that, saying the UK did not deserve double nil pois. But you have to think about the voting system. And I've gone through this, and it's, you you know, you need to think about this. For the jury votes, they all, every jury member, they rank all the songs, and only the 10, the top 10, mm-hmm. get any points.
Yeah.
And could, can you see the UK getting in the top 10, considering the strong performances we saw last night? I wouldn't, in all seriousness, have put the UK in that top 10. And that is why it didn't get any votes from the jury. Now, the televoting is a little bit different, because obviously it's, televoters are just typically, they're voting for one or two of their favourite songs. They're not voting for 10. You know, maybe they are, but very few people are doing
that. But the
that,
individual so. Countries are ranking them as well, aren't they?
Yes, yes. Are you talking
about... The televotes are being ranked in the countries where they're compiled, and then those points are going on to form the total number of points that are given. See, this is where it gets confusing, because it's not clear.
Well, the televotes calculated by the number of votes the public from each country send to other countries. So the country that receives the 10th most votes from that public will receive 1 point, and then so on to 12 points.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So in lots of countries as well, they're not giving the UK enough points to make it into the top 10, and therefore the UK gets no points along with a load of other people.
It's not, as you know, some people will think that nobody voted for the UK. People would have done, but just not enough. And you've got a question then, well, is that a fair system? I would still say yes. I think it's the best system they could come up with, considering the huge amount that's going on in the different countries and how it works. I mean, let's just take a quick look. We now have the voting breakdown of how the juries and the televoters voted for the UK. It's not the best picture, I'll be honest. 60% of televoting countries put the UK in the bottom two. So that James Newman, he really did not connect with the public. He was very low in terms of the televoting results. I'd say the highest position he got with televoters was with Malta, which traditionally does give us quite high votes. They do seem to like us, Malta. Televote, they gave us 14th. That's as high as we came in the televote. All the other countries, quite a lot of them gave us bottom. Austria gave us bottom. Czech Republic did. Georgia. So we were low in a lot of places, the televote. I would say the jury, we did a little bit better, not by much, but there were definitely, we were a lot more in the middle of the table with the jury. Now, in Poland, we just missed out on getting a point, which doesn't sound great, but considering how badly we did,
we could have
taken
had 1 point. We could have had one, absolutely.
But Poland gave us 11th. So we just missed out on getting that 10th place and getting a point. So we weren't far off getting 1 point in the Eurovision. But I think that it's just easy to make that mistake, to think, oh, the song wasn't that bad. But it's actually, well, it wasn't that good either. And I think that's the important point. And that's where the UK have slipped up.
Yes. Just a little slippage. Do we know, by the way, how the UK voted and where it gave its points? Because obviously we know what it did with the jury, but what about the televoting public?
We do. Now, it's interesting, there often is the case with this, there's a difference with the points given by the televoters and by the jury. The televoters, the public gave 12 points to Lithuania.
Yeah, that's surprising, isn't it? It is a bit.
I could maybe understand a few of the others. Public gave 10 points to Iceland. I can understand that a lot more. I would have thought Iceland would have maybe been the 12th spot. But for the jury gave France their 12 points, and Iceland again got 10 points from the jury. So quite strong for Iceland in both showings, but it was France that the jury gave their 12 points to.
This is Null Pod. Just a reminder that we've got loads of other podcasts that you might want to have a little listen to if you are interested in the Eurovision Song Contest. One you might enjoy is one that we did with the BBC's Moscow correspondent, Steve Rosenberg. He and I actually both play our pianos, and we talk about some of the songs from the competition and play them. That was such fun, wasn't it? It was great. Really enjoyable episode to make. And one of our most recent ones as well contains our chat with Katrina Fina from Contrida and the Waves, who of course was the last person to bring home the Eurovision trophy in 1997, and she was fantastic.
Yeah, she was great. Really lovely to chat to. You can hear all about her experience backstage at 1997, where they had assumed they hadn't won and got a little drunk at the bar.
Yes, why not, I say. I thought it'd be lovely to have a little look at our moments that have stood out to us across the whole competition, actually, not necessarily just from the final, but also the semi-finals as well. There were some bonkers moments and some ups and some downs. Where should we start here, Chris? What was one of your kind of standout moments?
Again, this always makes it sound like this is a positive thing, and it wasn't, but it was such a shock. And I think we'll be talking about this moment in Eurovision history for a long, long time to come, that the four null points in a row from the public. I mean, we can remember in 2019 when we had I'm sorry, no points to Germany, and everyone going, oh. This time we had that four times in a row, and each time people were getting more and more shocked. I couldn't believe it. The UK, I was enough shocked at, but then as well, Germany, Spain, and the Netherlands, the host country, got no points from the public. I mean, what? I can't, that's never happened before. And I think at that point, people were going, okay, this is going to be different. This is going to be a different song contest than we've been expecting.
2021 will go down in history for many, many reasons.
Yes.
And this is just one of them. What fantastic television. Brilliantly
amazing.
Gripping.
Shocking.
Just great. Should we talk about just San Marino very quickly? Because
I think
a lot of people were talking from more of that. It was a bit of a stab. That was the moment, I think, certainly for me and for you as well, I know, we were really gearing up for San Marino. And I think maybe this is the moment of the semi-final. This is the moment of semi-final two. It wasn't really the moment of the grand final because we'd already seen it. And will Flo Rida appear? Won't he? What's it going to be like? Well, we had the answer to that on Thursday night.
We did indeed. And I really feel for Senita. I really do, because I thought she put on, I don't think it was her best performance, but I don't think it was terrible. And I think she was really expecting to have done better. I will say they actually, again, on for semi-final two, they only just qualified. They were 10th in the televote from the public, and it was the jury that actually helped save San Marino quite a lot. So again, I'm trying to pick apart here, why didn't the public like San Marino? They only got 13 public points in the final as well. Was it Flo Rida? Did he actually harm San Marino's chances? Maybe people were thinking, well, I think it's very, you're basically trying to buy your way into getting more votes by, you know, getting a well-known name. And did people not take to that? Was it just the performance wasn't on it in the night? Or another thing I was thinking about, is it maybe that San Marino was one that people liked, but it was behind maybe three or four others. So people were thinking, well, I like San Marino, but these are the ones I want to vote for. Do you know what I mean? And that is the danger. You've got to be the favourite. You can't be like fourth or fifth, because you're not going to get the votes.
It's so good, isn't it? It's like an insight into psychology. And then there's maths.
I love
and
this
statistics.
Stuff,
Martin. Isn't it interesting?
I've been poring over this all day.
Probably best not to admit that outside of this podcast, I would say. But we'll let you off. I want to get to my moments of madness in a second, but do you want to talk about Malta very quickly?
Because once again, I've been poring over it, Martin. Now, this, I think, is even more interesting. And poor Destiny. I really do feel for her. She got 47 points in the public vote, and I don't think
very surprising,
considering it was first overall in semi-final one, first in the jury, second in the televote. So different to San Marino, where San Marino performed badly and equally performed badly in the final-ish. I mean, still did better than us, but, you know, considering. Overall, semi-final one, Malta was top. And yet, what happened? Okay, they didn't do terribly. They were still seventh. But I think considering the hype, they were expecting to be top three, weren't they? And yet really, really fell down in the televote. I'm trying to see where they came in the televote, because they came 14th with that 47 points. Definitely the jury saved them, because they came third in the jury, but 14th. I wonder again, was it the staging quite simple? Was it that they were placed quite high up in the table, in the running order. Did people just forget them a little bit? I do wonder. It's a shame. I feel for Destiny. I felt she deserved a bit higher.
She really was just a force of nature. It's such a shame that she wasn't able to do better. Still to come here on Nul Poix, we are going to be chatting about what happens in 2022, where the contest goes, what it's going to look like. But first, let's do this and have a look back over the last week of Eurovision bonkersness, the strange, the bizarre, the weird things that could only happen at the Eurovision in our Moments of Madness. And I love all this stuff. This is the bits I live for. I live for it. And I'm going to start you with this. Semi-final one. And here is one of the presenters asking the German entry, Jendrik, if he really doesn't feel hate.
Hey, Jendrik, your song is entitled I Don't Feel Hate.
Yes.
Tell me, do you really never feel hate?
No.
No,
well, no, because sometimes I do feel hate.
Yes, what a bonkers thing to ask him. And bless old Jendrik, he tried, you know, his best to kind of give an answer to that, didn't he? But I don't know. Clearly they were filling for time, but why on earth would you ask that question? Excellent.
Fantastic.
Now, we had another one here. This was from semi-final two. And this time, once again, the presenter was asking lovely Helena from Greece, the Greek winner. She was up on a roof because she was going to be on a roof on the final. For some reason, they thought she should...
But they had her up on... Yeah, just get... this is where you will be soon.
Yeah, so
but not
go
now.
There now. So they felt they had to ask her about what she was wearing.
Helena, we've put you high on a rooftop in just a dress. Please tell me you're wearing thermal underwear.
Just so
bizarre.
Random, isn't it? It's
Why?
Just so
Why did you ask her that?
Random.
Yeah.
Every year I get more and more baffled by the fact that we do a massive countdown to the fact that a voting line will close. Love it. This year it was even more ridiculous than ever, and I just wanted to put forward as a moment of madness the countdown dancers. These
yes.
are the dancers who, when filmed from above, arrange themselves into numbers.
Yeah.
Except it's meant to count down the number of seconds, right? But they took at least 5 seconds per number.
Yeah. So it wasn't in time at all. I did really, if anyone ever watched the Day to Day, there was the interpretive dancer who danced off the end of the news in one of those episodes, and it really reminded me of that, actually. It was fantastic.
Here's to the countdown dancers. Let's go to some of the people who were giving the results from their various countries, and here's a woman from Bulgaria wishing herself a happy birthday.
It was like a dream come true, and a very special present for my birthday tonight. Yay, happy birthday to me. And now,
I mean, all props to her, you know, she it was a birthday, she no one else had said it, so she was gonna say it herself.
Yeah, very, very much happy birthday to you, woman from Bulgaria. And finally, a little nod to the Eurovision Fire Saga movie from Will Ferrell. Iceland got the actual actor who goes play Yaya Ding Dong to say,
I would personally like you to play Yaya Ding Dong.
And he said it. It was very funny. And then he kept going.
Our 12 points go to Yaya Ding Dong.
Yeah, he really sort of had one job, didn't he? And he kind of just kept going with it. And they were a bit like, oh, and the actual results now, could we maybe have those? Because, you know, time's getting on. Yeah, bless him.
I live for those moments. The Eurovision Song Contest, Moments of Madness.
Now, we've got to look ahead then to what all this means. It's definitely going to be Italy 2022. It does bring me to mind of the last time Italy hosted the contest. And I think any big Eurovision fans will remember this with a wry smile. The chaos of 91, where it was hosted in Italy. Basically, there was a lot of confusion from the presenters about which country was giving points points to which country, a lot of confusion. Basically, it dragged on much longer than it had. At one point, they lost Turkey and weren't able to get hold of them again. I'm not saying I think it's going to be like this time, but that is the last time that Italy voted. Do look it up if you can on YouTube, Eurovision 1991, because it's quite something. I'm sure Italy will have their act together for next time. However, I think part of the problem was the two people presenting were not TV presenters. One of them was the winner from last year. You should never do it. You just shouldn't. I know they did it with Mons in Sweden and it worked. But yeah, let's see what happened next year. Already people speculating where in Italy it's going to be. I believe the mayors of both Rome and Turin have already expressed an interest in hosting it. Where do you think it'll be, Martin? Do you think it'll be Rome?
I've absolutely no idea.
Who's to say?
Absolutely no idea. either would be great. I'm really excited to go to Italy. It's been a long time since I've been to Italy. I was a child last time I went. Really very excited to go. I think that'd be fantastic. I mean, fingers crossed. Please have sorted out COVID by then so we could go. That would be absolutely lovely. Very much looking forward to it, though. Cannot wait. That is about it then from Nul Poir for this episode. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you've been enjoying the episodes, the extra episodes that we've been bringing you throughout the contest week. And thank you for getting in touch as well. We've had so many people get in touch. It's lovely to hear from you. We love hearing what you think about things that we've been talking about and stuff that's been happening in the contest. We've had loads and loads of messages, and here are just a few.
Yeah, thank you so much to Kim, who got in contact with us about Iceland, saying, I've been a devoted Eurovision fan for years. It's actually saying, I walked down the aisle to the Eurovision opening theme, and my dad sang a doctored version of Save All Your Kisses for Me as his speech on my wedding day, which I think is amazing, Kim. That's fantastic. Thank you for telling us about that. But they got in touch with us to say that they were very much behind Iceland and their song 10 Years, saying it embraced everything about Eurovision, fun, odd, honest, full of joy, and it was a great song. So Kim, a little bit gutted that Iceland didn't win, but did say Italy's song was awesome, heartfelt congratulations, but did add at the end, at the same time, catch me in the front row of Dardi or Gagne Maglev's tour. So a little bit gutted from Kim, but thank you so much for telling us how you felt, and amazing that you walked down the aisle to the Eurovision opening thing. I think that's fantastic.
Kim, I think we need to have a chat with you at some point in a podcast.
Yes, we'd love
maybe
to.
Later this year. I think that'd be fascinating. This is from Mickey, who says, hi Nul Poir, hello. Watching the contest last night and seeing that the UK's got Nul Poir made me think, what on earth is your reaction going to be? Mine was a little shouty, to tell you the truth. I want to thank you for a wonderful year of the podcast, and I am looking forward to the next one. Oh, that is so kind
thank
of you to
you
say.
Thank you so much, thank Mickey. You. Thanks, Mickey.
Really,
Ruben.
Really appreciate that one.
And indeed, we got another one as well from Playful Mitch, who admitted, because beforehand they were saying, no way is France going to win. Well, they admitted that they fluffed up the prediction, but did say after having seen the performance in full, they sent a vote away, saying, totally with you, Martin. Everyone's with Martin for some reason.
Thank you very much. Exoneration.
In his assessment of the UK result, and saying, and living in Sweden for now, I look forward to the national inquiry that will be launched to find out how on earth Sweden could end up on the right side of the scoreboard, which is true. Another thing that happened.
Yeah. Exactly. And that whole thing has sort of passed us by, such as being the madness of all the rest of it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. If you want to add your voice to the many people who've been getting in touch, we would honestly love to hear from you. And here is how you can do it.
Yeah, please do. It's always great to get your thoughts and it's great to just read what you're thinking about what's happened. So yeah, you can get in contact with us on Twitter. We're @poirnull on Twitter, POINTSNUL. We're also on Insta, Nullpoir Podcast. And of course, send us an email like Kim did. If you've got quite a lot of things to express, which I can imagine that final would give quite a lot of things to pour over, do send us an email at nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com.
Share this podcast with your friends. Do go and listen to some of our previous episodes. There's some great stuff there that I think you'd really, really be interested in hearing, especially our chat with Steve Rosenberg and our chat with Katrina from Katrina and the Waves. We are going to be back at some point.
Yeah.
We don't.
I believe we're hoping. Well, the thing is, I think we'll probably we probably will be back next weekend, I think, just to leave it at that. But I think after that, for June, I mean, we are coming back, don't worry. I don't mean we're just leaving. But I think when it hits June, there may be a possibility of a little break, simply because there's just not going to be as much to talk about. It's time to, we may take a little break, but we're looking to hopefully put out one more episode next week. And it's been what a bumper month it's been, Martin.
Oh.
It was a terrible time for the UK and Eurovision, but a fantastic time for the podcast.
And on that, thank you very much for listening to this edition of Nolpois.
Nolpois!